Listen, I want you to do something for me. Everybody, as you came into the church this morning, should have been given a slip of paper. Everybody get a little slip of paper when you come in this morning? If you didn't get a little slip of paper, hold your hand up and I'll make sure that we have... You didn't get a slip of paper? Okay, Scott's out back. Alicia, if you'll step out there and ask Scott, tell Scott to give you a few more slips of paper. Every single one of you was given a slip of paper this morning, at least those that raised their hand didn't. Yeah, y'all come in the back door. So I want everybody to have a slip of paper. So real quickly, while they're gathering more of them, once they get in the room, I'll ask you to hold your hand up. That slip of paper is very critical and very important to the service this morning. And I think Big Jason has some. So hold your hand up if you didn't get a slip of paper this morning. Okay. So just hold your hand up because we want to make sure that Jason gets to you. You know. Yeah. Because we want you to have one. Now, with that slip of paper in your hand, I want you, we're going to begin a series. I don't preach message series real often, but I'm going to this fall. And this message, I'm calling it the Overcomer series. Keep those hands up if you didn't get a slip of paper. This series of messages I'm going to preach the next few weeks I'm calling it the Overcomer series. You know, the Bible says we're made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. It's His desire for us to be overcomers. It's His desire for us to be conquerors. So if you need ink pens, Scott's got ink pens, Jason's got the paper. So just make sure everybody's covered, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you this morning, if you are struggling with accepting God's forgiveness, it may be a specific matter. Maybe it's something that you've done in life that you regret, that you're very remorseful for. Maybe you've wronged another person. Maybe you've injured another person. Maybe you've made some bad judgments and some bad decisions in life. This is what I want you to do. I want you, there's probably not enough room for you to write out a whole sentence, but just write down that thing. You could have been saved for 70 years, but I have a notion there's still something that you're struggling with accepting the forgiveness of God over. I have things in my life. I'll be very frank with you. I have more than one. I'm not going to name them to you because it's none of your business. Okay? But I have things that have happened to me down through my life. One of them happened when I was only about 14 years old. And it was a mistake I made. A very serious mistake I made 14 years old. And I saw the other person that was engaged in that mistake was on the receiving end of my mistake a few weeks ago at a funeral. I hadn't seen them in years. And you know the first thing that they reminded me of was the mistake I made. So I want you to write it down on that piece of paper and you can fold it over and I want you to hold on to it for just a little bit. Okay? Because it may not come to you right at this time what you want to write down. Just hold it on to it a little bit. And we're going to pick those pieces of paper up. And we're not going to read them. We're not going to disclose them to anybody. I'm not personally going to read them, okay? But it's been said that anything that is meaningful, anything that is important is worth writing down. If there's goals in life, if there's things that you're struggling with in life, whatever the case may be, there's significance in writing something down. So I want you to write down that thing that you're struggling with. And then we'll collect in a secret ballot box. Not one like the government. They're not government-issue ballot boxes. If you turn in your scripture, if you'll go to the book of Micah. First message in this series, Overcomer series. We're going to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7, and we're going to read two verses of scripture there. The prophet says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." I want you to focus real quickly on the 19th verse. "You will again have compassion on us." He's speaking in not necessarily a present tense, but he is speaking in a future tense. He said, "You will tread our sins underfoot." He doesn't say you will tread us underfoot. He said, "You will tread our sins underfoot, and you will hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." I want to preach to you this morning with just a simple question as a thought. How can this be? Most of us have heard many times the term the sea of forgetfulness. Now, I'll be very frank with you. You do not find that terminology in Scripture. There is no mention of the sea of forgetfulness. Okay? The sea of forgetfulness and the glassy sea, the crystal sea, as people call it, two different things. The sea of forgetfulness is actually a term we use to attach to a metaphor, and in particular, there's several, about four or five verses of Scripture, but in particular, this Scripture we just read from this morning is where we link that term to. So we can't find that particular terminology in Scripture, but yet there is the concept of that sea of forgetfulness found in Scripture. Micah is addressing here in his writing a broken Israel. Now let me share this with you this morning. Israel in Scripture is a type of the church. Israel in Scripture is not only a type of the church, which we're all part of, but Israel is also a type of you. Israel's also a type of me. Okay? So when we read of Israel and we read of and we study about the circumstances of Israel, they're applicable to the modern church age, but they're also applicable to your life and my life. We all have our struggles, just like Israel. We all have our weaknesses, just like Israel. We all have our grumblings and our complainings, just like Israel. We all want to have seasons of wandering around in the wilderness in a circle. Hopefully it doesn't last 40 years. Okay? We all have our difficulties in that, just like Israel. Micah is addressing a broken Israel, a messed up Israel. You and I oftentimes are broken. You and I are often messed up. Keeping in the tradition of our African American brothers and sisters, look at the person next to you and say, "You are broken." Because you are at times in your life. And so am I. The Israelites had become overladen with sin. Israel had grown corrupt. They had grown corrupt politically and in business practice, and they had allowed social injustices to arise in their society, and they had found themselves in a place of wickedness, evilness, and corruption, and that had become their normal style of life. You know, there's an old saying that if you stay outside long enough that you get used to the dark. It doesn't sound too pleasant, but they say if you put a frog in a pan of water and you slowly heat it up, he'll boil to death and not even know he's done it. Because he slowly became acclimated to the circumstance he is in. You see, you and I get acclimated to the circumstances that we're in so oftentimes. And we get used to the dark. And the water is brought to a boil, and we don't even realize that we're sitting right in the middle of it. That's what happened to Israel. But we see here that the Lord is extending His mercy and His grace in spite of their fallacies, their mistakes. I'll even use the word incompetence. God is still merciful and gracious. In fact, that's what mercy and grace is all about, isn't it? It's not about what we deserve. It's not about what we should be entitled to, but it's about mercy and grace. He blesses us and He ministers to us even though we are undeserving. Even though we merit nothing. It was you and I that merited the cross, not Jesus. Early on, the Israelites struggle with accepting such wonderful grace as God has given. In fact, the Jews still struggle with grace. However, they did gradually develop a needed trust in the Lord following this prophetic word. Micah was witnessing firsthand what has begun to happen. He is acknowledging the gradual reformation of the Jews. Now let me tell you, you're saved instantly. You're saved by grace. You can't get any more saved than being saved. Some people will say, well, just how saved are you? I'm saved and I'm saved by grace. I can't get any more saved than I am right now. I have never been any more saved than I was when I first accepted Christ as my Savior for the free pardon of my sins through His shed blood, and I did it all through faith. I can't get any more saved than that, but yet I grow in grace. I grow in His mercy. I grow in His presence. And here I am now. I got to count. Here I am now 47 years later. Almost 47 years later, and here I am, still struggling with things that have happened in my past. Some things that happened before I ever got saved. Some things that have happened since I've been a Christian, since I've got saved. Here I am, I find myself, you're probably not like me. I'm probably all alone in this boat by myself. You know, I'm not even on a pontoon. I mean, I'm on a luxury liner, and I'm the only guy on it that feels this way. I still struggle with things, and I'm sure you probably do too. I'm being a little sarcastic, if you would. But the Israelites were struggling, but now they have begun accepting grace. Micah is witnessing this firsthand, the gradual reformation of the Jews, and he's offering this prayer of worship. And in the concluding portion of this recording, there are four significant points that Micah makes during his worship. The first point that Micah makes is, there is no one in comparison to God. There is no one in comparison to God. Don't fall victim. Don't ever say, next one in power to God is the devil. Because that's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? The devil only has the power that God has allowed him to have, and he is not second in command. Okay? I want you to understand that. There is no one and nothing can even come close to being compared to God. Why do I say that? Because through God, there is the pardoning of sin. Through God, there is the forgiving of the transgressor. Through God, there is the actual destroying of sin. There's never been another entity on the face of the earth that is able to forgive sin. There has never been another being on the face of the earth that is able to take someone that is broken and their life is warped and they're all messed up like I was as a teenager and to regenerate me and reform me and reshape me. And listen, it's been a process, like I said, for some 47 years, and God still, y'all remember that song, I think it was the Hemp Hills for you Southern Gospel people, that said, God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And when my son was, and he just turned 40, but when he was a little boy, he had a shirt with this little kid with chocolate or mud or something all over his hands, all over his face, and the inscription on the front of that shirt said, God doesn't make junk. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey that I've been on for 47 years. I don't know how long you've been on yours, but let me tell you this. I promise you, if you have submitted yourself to the Lord and you daily are giving yourself over to the Lord, you are a work in process. None of us have arrived yet. None of us has made it home yet. I'm not wishing to die, but I'm looking forward to that time when everything is done, everything is over, the battle is won, the victory is totally in my possession. I'm looking forward to all of that, but I realize that I am a work in process, and I hope you do too. That is not a disclaimer for you to live a life without seriously pursuing God. That's not what I'm giving you. But what I'm telling you is you need to shake off the guilt and the conviction of the things that have happened in your past that you're struggling to forgive yourself for. The second thing we see in this Micah's prayer of worship is God's wrath is temporary. God's wrath is temporary. Now, God's wrath has been utilized. It's been poured out upon Israel. But now we see that God is restoring Israel. We see God's bringing back. You know, there's been times in my life that I know I haven't pleased God. There's been times in your life you haven't pleased God. But in those times, we are living out from under the hand of God's greatest blessing that He has for us. I'm a firm believer that many times that we just walk in the providential will of God instead of the perfect will of God. I'm not always pleasing to the Lord, and I know that you're not either. At least I think so, and I would assume so, and I find myself sometimes when He lets me go my way and do my thing, and I'm very persistent in doing so, that I'm not walking in the fullness that He has for me. Israel had not been walking in the fullness that God had for them, but now they're making their way back home. Now they're seeing restoration come because He says this. He said, you do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. See, God's wrath is temporary, but He finds delight in showing mercy. I want you to remember that. God's wrath is temporary, but He finds delight in showing mercy and grace. God's not always pleased with us. But yet, He's always pleased to show His mercy and His grace. And mercy and grace will trump, not Donald Trump, mercy and grace will trump wrath every single time. It will trump. Now that doesn't mean that God's going to excuse in the day of judgment. That's not saying that God's just going to suddenly forget about everything and say, oh, you know what, I'm not going to judge the world, because He will judge the world in righteousness. But understand this, we right now are living and we are blessed. People talk about, they say, man, I'd like to live back in the Bible days. Not me. Especially in the Old Testament. Not me. I'm glad I live when I live, because I live in the dispensation of mercy and grace. I live under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I live in an opportunity when I'm a failure within myself, within my own righteousness. I'm a failure because the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But yet, through Christ Jesus, I am made somebody in the eyes of the Father. So God's wrath is temporary, but He finds delight in showing mercy. We deserve death, but He gave us mercy. We deserve punishment, but He gave us grace. And we see thirdly in this worship prayer of Micah that sin is conquered. Because there in the scriptures we read from, He speaks of our sins be trampled underfoot. And all of our iniquities be hurled into the sea. You see, there we see the sins are conquered and as they're trampled underfoot. That means that, you know, we like talking about that verse of Scripture where God bruises the head of Satan, don't we? He crushes Satan underfoot. We like talking about that, but understand, He does our sin the same way. He crushes. When we confess our sin, and the Bible says when we are faithful to confess our sins, when we do confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Micah sees in his spirit, he sees the sins of Israel being crushed under the mighty foot of God. He sees that mighty foot. Maybe one foot is grace and maybe one foot is mercy. I'm not sure, but I can just see. Maybe Micah had a mental picture of the sins of Israel being trampled under feet, just trodden over. But then he went on to say, and our iniquities are hurled into the depths of the sea. You see, that's where we come up with that, the fourth thing, which is the sea of forgetfulness. Because here's the deal. God not only walks over our and tramples our sin into the ground, but I want you to remember this morning. You know, sometimes there's things that I don't have a hypothetical in my mind right now at this time, so forgive me. But there's sometimes there's things that we will do, or maybe things that we will accomplish, I was looking, and Dave will understand what I'm talking about. Dave Lester. We just replaced a projector bulb. Anybody notice how bright it is this morning? You know, right now. I was in there in the office looking around when I was looking for, I found like four other projector bulbs. Some of them go way back, you know, about 15 years or so, or maybe older than that ago. Why are we still holding on to them? If we had to change them back then, why we still got them now? So right now we got like four spare projector bulbs. Mike Dillo, I might have to get you to take care of that for me. Mike can throw some stuff away. Not blink an eye. When I first come here as pastor, we rented a 3-ton dumpster and we overloaded it. But sometimes we hang on to stuff, you know, and we hold on to stuff because we think, well, something might come up later. Did you just look at me and do that to Rick Black? I just gave him a truckload of stuff the other day because I didn't want to hang it around my house. But the reality of it is God doesn't hold on to stuff to look back at later. You write me an ugly letter. You write the pastor an ugly letter. I probably shouldn't tell this, but I am. Bless God. You write me an ugly letter, I'm probably going to put it in a file in my desk drawer somewhere. And 10 years from now, if you get ugly again, after you come back and apologize, I'm going to say, you remember this letter you wrote me 10 years ago? Now, I know none of y'all would do something like that. I know that's not in your. We hang on to stuff. We'll go back to stuff. We'll drag up the past. That's what I'm trying to say. But God, He tramples the sin of Israel. He tramples the sin of the church. He tramples my sin and He tramples your sin underfoot. But then He takes all of the iniquity, all of the iniquity, which iniquity is the byproduct of the sin. He takes all that iniquity and He casts it into the deep. He casts it into the sea. And that's where we develop the terminology, the sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered anymore. You see, what we struggle with is it's hard for us to wrap our minds around who God is. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around the capacity of God. Because God is filled with un. God is filled with un. Y'all know what un is, don't you? U-N. God is filled with un. God is filled with un. He has an unusual love that we can't imagine. God is filled with undeserved grace that we don't merit. God is filled with unlimited forgiveness that we shouldn't have. God is filled with an unremembered memory. Sure, God has a memory. But God's memory chooses to remember our sin no more. Now, that's a paradox. That probably blows your mind. But that's where we have struggles understanding God. Listen to me. What God has forgiven you from or for, and what God has forgiven me from or for, it is never to be remembered against me any other time in my life. I could go out, I could go off the deep end, I could go off the rails, I could go crazy, I could go spiritually berserk, God forbid that I would do, but I could become an atheist or whatever, however bad you can imagine. But the sins that have been put under the blood of Jesus are never retrieved, they're never called back up. God doesn't operate out of a bottom drawer of His desk or a memory bank. What God has forgiven is forgotten. But we struggle with that sometimes. So there's just things of God that are beyond our comprehension. There's things of God that are beyond our comprehension. I'm going to ask Scott. He's got a couple ushers. I gave you a piece of paper. If you didn't get a piece of paper, raise your hand again. We'll get it. But write that thing that you struggle with. That one thing that it's been hard for you to accept that God can forgive you of that. The one thing that it's hard for you to forgive yourself of. I want you to write it down. Don't put your name on it. It's not, nobody's going to see it anyway. But I want you to just, one of y'all do the middle section there, guys. One of y'all do the middle section, and then one of y'all do this side. This side, yeah. And I want you to pick up those slips of paper. I want you to drop them in there. I'm not going to read them. Only one I might read is my wife's. No, I wouldn't do that to her. I don't, you know. But I want you to pick those papers. We're going to drop them in that box, the box where nobody can look in it. Nobody's going to see it. So there's things of God that are beyond our comprehension. The things that are beyond our comprehension are things like, how could one man take full responsibility for all my sin? You know, we struggle with relinquishing responsibility. We struggle with that. We struggle with that. When y'all get in the middle? Okay. We struggle with relinquishing responsibility. Men struggle with that more so than women sometimes. We struggle with relinquishing responsibility, and it's hard for us to imagine how can the blood of that man be sufficed in canceling out every sin that I have? Well, it's because He was the Son of God. And He is the perfect Lamb. He is the ultimate Lamb. once y'all get done, to spring them and set them right up here for me, would you? How can someone forget? How can someone forget about what I've done? I mentioned to you a while back, early in this message, I mentioned to you about the person that I bumped into just a few weeks ago that reminded me of the incident that happened more than 50 years ago. And he wasn't trying to get at me. We sort of laughed about it a little bit, even though it was no laughing matter. I don't mind telling you what it was. It was a hunting accident, and I accidentally shot him. You can say what you want to about shooting people, but until you shot somebody, especially in the innocence, you don't understand. And I've never forgot it. I can close my eyes and I can picture the scene right now. And there may be something that you've struggled with. It may not be as severe as mine. It may not be lingering in your mind quite like mine has. We were kids. It wasn't intentional. It's just an accident, per se. Luckily, he wasn't seriously injured and blessed, I should say, he wasn't seriously injured, and more blessed, he didn't lose his life because he could have. See, I struggle with that. That's not the only thing in my life I struggle with, thinking, how could God forgive me of such things? But somehow in my mind, I have to purpose and I have to realize that God is able to do that. And He does so and He forgets. Sarah, I need you to come up here and help me. So here's my answer to that question. How can this be? How can this be? How can God work and do this? How can He forgive sin? How can He forget sin? How can He do all of this? Well, I'm going to give you my answer right now. I don't know. That's why He's God and I'm not. That's why He's God and I'm not. I don't know how He does it, but yet I believe He does it. I don't know how He accomplishes it, but I believe He accomplishes it. Thank you, man. Now, You all put your papers in here. I'm not going to look at them. But you know, sometimes we just like, you know, our sins, we just find our sins. All of our sins just get piled up. All of our sins just continue to weigh heavy on us, get bigger and bigger and bigger. That one's in a tithe envelope. I don't have to open that envelope. Okay. This is everything that you all have. This is everything that you've given. And they just keep piling up. And they lay there. But when God comes in and He says, I'm going to begin to bury these in a sea of forgetfulness. You didn't give me a spoon, did you? So I buried all of your sin in the sea of forgiveness. This is everything you wrote. And only you know what you wrote. Only you know what you wrote. Unless you share with somebody, only you know what you've struggled with in life. But here's the deal. The enemy would like to come along, and even though that your sin has been placed in the sea of forgetfulness, the enemy would like to come along and stir things up. But you know what? The enemy can stir all he wants to. Who wants to volunteer to come up here and find your slip of paper? Because that slip of paper that represented all of your sin, that sin that you're struggling with, watch it. It's only, you don't watch it. Here it goes. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. The sin that you're struggling with finding forgiveness over only exists in your mind. It doesn't exist in the mind of God. If you, I tell you what, I don't have no hair, but right now my hair is standing up on my head. The sin that exists exists in your mind only. It does not exist in the mind of God. He's taken it. He's dissolved it in the sea of forgetfulness. It will never be remembered. It's not there anymore. It doesn't matter if the enemy... Listen, the more the enemy stirs, the clearer the water becomes. There's nothing there. There's some of you in this room, you've struggled. You might have struggled all of your life with whatever you wrote down on that piece of paper. But let me tell you, let that piece of paper be representative that it's gone. That it's gone. I can't pull, there's no way I can't pull, I can't find a piece of paper in there. I can't, nor can I find any writing in there. There is nothing there. There is nothing there but water. There's nothing there but water. Water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And every sin has been drowned by the Spirit of God. So whatever you've struggled with, whether you're a Christian, especially if you never believe Jesus is your Savior, just let it go. Just let it go. Give it to Jesus. And let Him. Not only drown it, but dissolve it in the sea of forgiveness. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. If you're in this room, and I'm not asking you to disclose what you may have written down on that slip of paper. I don't really need to know. If you want to share something in particular, that's fine. But from this day on, I want you to realize that my sin does not exist in the mind of God. But we want to help you to overcome. We want to help you to overcome the condemnation that you have. So if you're in this room right now and you say, "Preacher, I need help. I need help overcoming this in my life." And it could be anything. It could be unforgiveness. It could be drugs. It could have been adultery. It could have been fornication. It could have been murder. It could have been rape. It could have been anything that you could name. There's forgiveness for every sin short of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Pastor, I'm struggling. I just can't get past the sin that I've done. If that's you in this room right now, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody in this room? Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get by. I just can't seem to let it go. Is there one? Thank you. Is there others in this room? Thank you. Are there others in this room? Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with letting go. Is there another? This is what I want you to do. For the sake of not embarrassing anyone, those of you that raised your hand in this room, you know who you are. But I want to ask everybody that can and will, I want us to come down and gather around this front altar area, and I want us to have a season of prayer. Listen, if you have never been saved, if you've never asked Jesus to birth you anew, being born again of the Spirit of God, then your sin has not been drowned yet. But it can be. So if you're unsaved and you need Jesus to cleanse you of every sin, make your way to me, because I've got something I want to share with you from the Word of God. But everybody that can and will, including those that raised your hands, would you come and let's just pray and believe the Lord in a corporate time of corporate prayer. As we bow into your presence, Lord, as we humble ourselves, God, we just believe, Lord Jesus, that you're moving and working. God, you're ministering. Lord, may our minds be clear. Lord, may we forgive ourselves, Lord Jesus. Lord, in spite of all of the thoughts, Lord, that come into our mind, in spite of all of the memories that exist in our mind, Lord, we acknowledge that today, that Lord, that you have forgiven and forgotten everything that I have ever done in my life. Lord, today there's newness in you. Lord, there's nothing to be remembered against me. I will never be indicted. There is no limit, Lord, to your ability to forgive. God, you, Lord Jesus, have forgotten all of my sin, all of my iniquity, Lord. And with you, Lord Jesus, I stand in victory. Lord, I refuse to be condemned. I refuse to be condemned within myself. I refuse, Lord, to carry condemnation of things that I have given to you and I put under your blood. Lord, I refuse, Lord Jesus, to be bogged down, Lord, with circumstances of my life, Lord Jesus, that I've given to you. God, I stand in victory. I stand in victory complete. And I hold fast, Lord, Lord, to your ability not only to forgive, but your ability to forget. And Lord Jesus, today, God, I hold fast, Lord, to the fact that there is no record kept. There is no bottom drawer. There are no screenshots. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. Nothing that you have held on to hold against me. Lord, for you're that kind of God. You're that gracious. And you're that merciful. And you're that loving. And you're that complete God, that you can forgive and forget my sin. So today, Lord, I agree with the people of this room and beyond. I agree that today that we are going to walk in victory. We are not going to walk in condemnation of our past. We are not going to allow the condemnations of our past to overshadow our lives and to weigh us down.
But Lord, we are going to stand in victory, knowing that, Lord, that you are complete. Your word is complete. All that you do it with completeness. And God, you are ministering in lives in this room today. Lord, we are forgiven. We are set free. And Lord, it has been forgotten because of your faithfulness and because of your blood. I am free. Lord, we declare your word that who the Son has set free is free indeed. So God, we rejoice today. We rejoice in liberty. We rejoice in freedom. We are no longer in bondage. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.